Well, good evening. Lovely to see you. Thank you for coming along. We do look to the God to bless you for being in this gospel meeting this evening. So, pretty well laid out the sign. I think it's to get even wilder as the night goes on. So, I do appreciate you taking the time to be with us this evening. If I was to put a title for my message for this evening, it's just the theme was in a moment. In a moment. And I want to think about this evening about moments. Moments in life. I guess when you look at life in all of its longevity and its length, it's made up of moments. Probably many millions of them. And probably most of them fairly monotonous, fairly unremarkable, and fairly unrememberable. And I guess that's just what life is. It's filled with many, many moments, but men are not very exciting. But there are those, of course, which, I guess, change things. And you reflect back on them, many of them, and you see, wow, what a moment that was. And really, from that moment forward, everything changed. I'm looking into the face of many, and you maybe walked down an aisle, or maybe you stood at the bottom of the aisle, and you waited for somebody to appear, and eventually you said two words. I do. And in a moment, everything changed. Hopefully for the better. But everything changed in a moment. Suddenly you went from being one person to becoming two people that you were united in a marriage. You would share everything together, and in a moment, everything changed. There was a day, I suppose, for many in the hall where maybe it was a midwife, or maybe it was a nurse that came through and said, Mr. Brooks, you've got a little boy. And in a moment, wow, did everything change. And I guess you reflect on just that moment and how everything has changed. And I certainly can tell you, marriage changed many things, but I can tell you, fathers have changed a whole lot more. And I just looked down the email, I was sitting in the ceiling, and I can see the remnants of where Paris has been chewing on my suit leg. So even the way you dress changes because of the way you have children. So these are moments, I guess, that are all very positive and great, and we look back to them with probably many fond memories. There are, of course, moments that change everything for the worse. And again, we are looking to the face of those this evening, you've had those. And they come suddenly, and they come out of the blue. And maybe it's a phone call, or maybe it's a knock on the door. And suddenly in a moment everything changes. Maybe it's when you've been sat in the waiting room of a doctor's surgery. Maybe it's you've been seeing the consultant in the hospital, and he's got the bad news. And in a moment everything changes. And life, in many ways, is all about those moments. And this evening I want to think about some moments that I find in God's Word, the Bible. We're going to think, first of all, about a moment of choice. We make choices in life all the time, but we're going to think about the choice. The biggest choice that you will make in life. And it happens in a moment. We're going to think, secondly, about a moment of change. And this is particularly for those who are Christians. A moment when we'll all change. And we'll think about that a little bit later on in the meeting. I want to think, finally, about a moment of calamity. I use the word calamity because it's a C word, and it fits with the other two C words. But let's call it a moment of disaster. I'm going to think about a moment of disaster. You know, friends, we'll all make a choice. And some of the room, you're in a moment of change. Praise God for that. But maybe, just maybe, I'm looking at the face of someone this evening, and you're not prepared to meet God. And for you, there will come a moment of disaster, or a moment of calamity, because you've not got right with God. And so I want to think about these three moments this evening. I promise I won't be long. I remember when I was a young person coming to meetings, and there was nothing worse if somebody took too long. Maybe you're saying, or you're thinking you've taken too long already, but I promise If you listen, I hope you're on this evening. And I was going to think, hang my thoughts on those three moments. The first one is found in the book of Matthew in chapter number 27. The book of Matthew in chapter 27. If you've got a Bible, please don't worry. I read the verse as carefully as I possibly can, because this is the word of God, and therefore this is the most important part of the meeting. It's Matthew 27 and verse 22. There was a question asked by a man called Pilate. Put in your name, Pilate. And he asked this question: what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I put to you this evening, this is the most important question. And this is the most important choice you'll ever make. It's quite important when you marry. Let's be honest, you're kind of stuck with them for quite a long time, so try and make sure you pick the right person. It's quite important, I guess, the choice you make about a career. You're doing it for quite a long time, so try and make sure you enjoy it. It's quite important what you study at school and what you study at university, because again, you're doing it for a while, so let's enjoy it while you're doing it. But I put it to you, this is the most important choice you want to make. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You know, I thought you've come to the gospel home many times, or this is your first time this evening. But becoming a Christian, getting saved, being born again, trusting in Christ, all those terms that we use in the gospel hall, it's not a process. You know, for me to do the job that I do just now was a process. You know, they sent me off to do courses, and I learnt a little bit by little bit, I learnt a lot on the job, but slowly over the process, I gained the ability to do the job I do just now. If you go to school, you know, they don't just suddenly say, well, there you go, there's your exam qualification. You go to university, you know, there's your degree. What they do is expect you to go through a process of learning. And that process is then tested at the end, unfortunately. And if you pass that test, then you'll get the exam or you'll get the qualification. It's a process. I tell you, Stephen, that's what it is in Christian things. You know, coming to the gospel holds grace. And please don't let me put you off coming. But in a sense, coming to the gospel hall is not a process by which you start to gain and attain the name of a Christian or the title of born again. You see, friends, becoming a Christian happens in a moment. It happens suddenly. You go from one moment being lost in your sin and being saved for God. You go from being on a road which leads to destruction and hell, and going on a path which leads to life and heaven. And it all happens in a moment. That moment happened to me when I was 9.5 years of age. And I went back the Grey Master to remember when that happened. And it happened like this. I sat in a meeting not too dissimilar to this. It was actually in a morning meeting. And a man got up in that morning meeting and he started to pray. And as he prayed, the first thing that struck me was he's crying. Now, as we all know, men don't cry. He was a man who was crying. And I wonder what he was crying about. And I remember being a 9-year-old and a curious 9-year-old looking along to see what was happening. And the tears were running down his face and the gathered on his chin, and they were dripping from his chin onto his shoes. And I was taken with what was happening. And then I listened to what he was saying. And that morning meeting, that man was thanking God for how much God had loved him. And how much he must have loved him to go to the cross. And do you know what happened? That man's prayer touched my life. And I, as a 9.5-year-old boy, in that meeting in Kent, in the south of England, asked God to save me. I went into that meeting lost. I came out of that meeting saved. I went into that meeting going to hell, and I came out of that meeting going to heaven. It happened in a moment. And friends, I can tell you, that's the good news of the gospel. I'm glad I'm not here to tell you, by the way, you've got to come to the gospel every day, every year, for the next 20 years, and maybe you'll get to heaven one day. You know, I live opposite a man, and he's my next door neighbour, I suppose, and he wants to be in heaven one day. But he's not quite sure he's over that to be there. He's got no hope. He's just got everything crossed, we would call it, to make sure he's there one day. And sadly, I don't think he will be. Why? Because he's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in a sense, even the very best I could do would never get me a place in heaven. You know, you say, well, what's so wrong with me and what's so wrong with you that we need to be saved in the first place? But my Bible is pretty clear. You know, there are certain self-help books that will tell you not too bad. And will tell you, you know, if you just tweak a few things here and there, everything will be okay. Do you know what the Bible does? It lays it out clear as crystal and tells you exactly what you are. And you hide nothing from us, God. He tells you this. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He says elsewhere, all the very good things that you do, the very best things you do, do you know what they are? They're like dirty rags or dirty clothes. He says elsewhere, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, he leaves me no doubt as to what I am. I'm one who has broken God's rules. I'm one who's turned my back on God and said, no God for me. And therefore I do not deserve God's love and God's grace and God's mercy. Now, suppose the reality of life and the reality of our condition before God is exactly that. We do not deserve anything from God. That is why what we do deserve is hell and punishment and separation from Him forever. But I've not just driven 27.4 miles from my house to here to tell you there's no hope. I've driven 27.4 miles to tell you this, that God loves you and He wants to see you tonight. And He can change your life in a moment. Why? Because He died on the cross to save you from your sins. You know, I meet people when they tell me, nobody loves me. Nobody's any kind for me. Can I tell you, maybe you're saying that tonight and you're thinking, nobody loves me. I tell you, God loves you. And God loves you more than you could ever imagine being loved. You know, it's great to be loved by your peers, isn't it? And it's great to be loved by your wife. It's great to be loved by your children. But I tell you what, it's an even greater thing to be loved by God. Because we don't deserve His love. And He's a God who not only says, I love you, but He's what He does. He shows us it as well. He shows it by giving His Son to die on a cross. A cross really that I deserved. A cross that should have been mine. And yet He took it. And the Bible says that He died for me. And I'm glad as many in the hall they can say, Christ died for me. Can you see that tonight? That Christ died for you. You know, you make many big choices in life. Some are important and some are not so important. And some even you can change. You know, you might make a choice of a career. And 10 years later you might decide to retrain and become something else. You need to get this choice right though. You can't afford to get this choice wrong. You know, friends, you change your life now. You see, how will it change my life tonight? Well, I can tell you this. If you were to get saved tonight, all your problems won't go away. You see, what do you expect to hear that? All your problems won't go away. If you came in this hall sick, and you get saved tonight, you'll go out the hall still sick. If you came in this hall poor, and you get saved to it, you've got this hall still pure. But can I tell you this, you'll leave this hall with something which I can't put a price on. It's the fact of going out this hall with the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And you'll go out this hall with your sins forgiven. And you'll go out this hall with a hope for heaven. And you'll go out this hall with a God in heaven who will hear your prayers. And you'll go out this hall indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And my Bible says that in a moment you'll be transformed. In a moment your life will be changed forever. And I can tell you this, I have never ever in all my life met a Christian who said to me this, "I wish I'd never got saved." Never met one. I can promise you this, you'll never regret it. And it happens in a moment. Turn over with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. First Corinthians 15 and verse number 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I'm not sure how much money is spent across this world on cosmetic surgery. A lot is the answer. And I guess the reasons why people spend money on cosmetic surgery are many. I guess some want to, I guess, reverse the effects of time. And so they might get a facelift because they've got a baggy face now. Others want to, I guess, reverse the effects of the bulge. And they might get liposuction. Where they're trying to get rid of this midriff that we all tend to gain about my age. You know, but I guess much is spent on trying to alter our appearance and our looks and our bodies. You know, my verse tells me there's a day coming when I'm going to go under a quite radical change. And it's not going to require a surgeon, and thankfully it's not going to require a surgeon's knife. And there's a day coming when I am going to be, wait for this, better looking. There's a day coming when I'm going to be stronger, I'm going to be wiser, I'm going to have better eyesight after the contact lenses, so I'm sort of pretending I can't see. I'm going to have better hearing. I might even have a full head of hair on the top rather than the bottom of my face just now. There's a day coming when all that might happen. And it's not going to cost me a penny. So it's going to happen just like that. You see, it's going to happen in a moment. And I'm looking into the faces again of many in the hall. And it's going to happen to you. You see, well, why the change? What's wrong with you? What do you need to change for heaven? Well, what? You know, his body actually, it's really well suited down here. It works pretty well. What works well when I get to heaven? You see, there's a different body. A body that can do things that this body simply can't do. And that's going to happen one day. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually moving house very soon. I'm not quite sure where I'm moving house, but I'm moving house very soon. Another house in Perth. I'm leaving it behind because, well, I've got a mansion I'm going to. You see, if you win the lottery or something, not at all. You see, what are you getting at, Scott? I'm getting at this. The same Lord Jesus Christ that we thought about in Eden died upon a cross. My Bible tells me this, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And after a period of days, he then ascended back into heaven, where he came from in the beginning. And he said this to the Christians that were around him at that time. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. You see, Scott, he said that 2,000 years ago. He's not come back very quickly. He's still holding out, so he's going to keep that promise. And that's what they are. And I believe that can happen tonight. And in a moment, this body that I have just now will be changed. And God will give me a body which is absolutely perfectly suited for heaven. You know, a body that won't decay. A body that won't age. A body that the effects of time won't be seen in. A body that won't be marked by sin. A body that will never feel the effects of disease and sickness and illness. A body that is absolutely perfect. What a body like that. Well, you'll need one if you're going to get in heaven. That could happen today. My Bible tells me this. Boast not myself of tomorrow, for I knoweth not what a day may bring forth. You know, in a sense, we've all got a life planned out, don't we? And tomorrow, I'm meant to be in Aberdeen tomorrow. And all being well, the alarm will go at 5:30 tomorrow morning, and I will be on the road to Aberdeen. Tuesday, I'm also in Aberdeen. Wednesday, I'm in Selby in North Yorkshire. Thursday, I'm in Edinburgh. And Friday, I'm working from home. You see, the week's all planned out. But none of that might happen. And in a sense, I might never even make it home. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. You know, I've read some verses that were written by the wise man Solomon. What are wise this evening? The wise man Solomon, he looked down and he can always see how it happened. He looked down and he considered an ant, and he watched what the ant did. It says this: which having no guide or overseer or ruler, prepares her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. What was the ant doing? The ant was taking advantage of the present to provide provision for the future. Why don't you do that tonight? Can I ask you, do you want to be in heaven? Do you want to be in heaven? It's a pretty cool place. It's a place that will blow your mind. It's a place I want to be one day. But the only way there is by trusting in Him. Not by trying your best. Not by turning over a new leaf. Not by reading the Bible. All these things are good. The way to guarantee a place in heaven is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a finish is even by reading in the book of Job in chapter number 21. Job chapter number 21. Job 21, verse number 13. Quite a sobering verse. Job 21, verse 13. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. If you enter the earlier verses in this chapter, Job just reflecting on almost how prosperous sometimes the wicked can seem. Those who have turned their backs on God, have no time for God, live evil life, and set themselves against God, in some ways they seem quite prosperous. And for some, life seems to go on quite well. But then Job reflects on it at the end. He sees this: no matter how promising life might look, and no matter how much you might be enjoying it, life for us all is so uncertain. Just looking at the meeting tonight, as a young girl comes to the camp in the summer, at the TCYC camp, and a brother committed suicide this week. Just a boy. With his life ahead of him. And he took his own life. Life is so uncertain for every one of us. And Job now reflects on these people, and he says they forget about God. They've no time for God. And they've got all the wealth and all the provision that they could ever possibly want in life. But suddenly, in a moment, death comes knocking. I'm going to take time to read the victory chords. New things to read, I accept, but wisdom. And you'll read some words that keep appearing. Suddenly. Unexpectedly. You see, we all have to think we're all going to have a deathbed, don't we? And we've all got this lovely image of the family all gathered round, and these last few moments of life ebbs out of our bodies. It's spent corpus mentis. Well, there are very few of us actually have deathbeds. We drop down suddenly with a heart attack or a stroke or something else, and life ends just like that. And many think we'll go right with God at the end. When they're facing into the great unknown of eternity, that's when we'll come to God. But maybe time runs out. I call this a moment of calamity. In reality, this isn't a moment of calamity. This is a period of unending calamity that you enter into. Because my Bible tells me this, that after death, the judgment. Not after death, nothing. After death, the judgment. And there's something that it puts, well, a cold sweat runs over you when I read it. When somebody writes about somebody who died, R.I.P. Rest in peace. Can I say this kindly? If a man or woman that's died has never made peace with God in life, there'll be no peace in eternity. A man or woman, boy or girl, who has never got right with God in time, they will not have no peace in eternity. Can I tell you what we don't know? And maybe these are better three words to stand for R.I.P. Number one, regret. I think one of the most fearful things about eternity, and an eternity without God, is regret. Memories. When you start and listen to the word of God and you turn your back on it and walk out that door for another time. And for you, turn your mind out. Regret. Number two, isolation for the eye. You know, there's a man in Luke chapter 16. And people seem to think that hell is a place where all the bad people, and all the people that are well for good, all get together and actually everything's okay. It's not. The man in Luke 16 who's in hell, he's alone. And he's in the fire. And he's in the darkness. And what he wants, he doesn't want his family to go there. I thought I used to go there. I would love if you were to get saved this evening. And my P finally is the word punishment. You know, Christ died upon a cross, and in 3 hours he was punished. You say, well, he did no wrong, why did he punish? He was punished because I had done wrong. And he was punished by the Holy God of heaven. Hour after hour after hour he was punished. Why? So I would need to be punished. If I reject God's offer of salvation and refuse to take the fact that Christ died for me, I tell you this, God will punish you for the rest of eternity. Regret, isolation, and punishment. And it happens in a moment. We make choices. I hope you made the right choice tonight. Praise God, those of us who are saved will really change in a moment. But oh, the awfulness that in a moment you'll go out to meet God. Not ready. I pray you'll think seriously about these things. Life is filled with moments. Some are important, some not so important. Maybe this will be a moment in your life that you'll never forget, the day when you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Well, let us pray and ask God's blessing on you. Our God and Father, we do again just thank you for the Lord Jesus, and just thank you again for the gospel meeting and for the wonder of thy love, and again for the cross. We just hang our heads in shame to think of all that we'd be willing to go through for us there. But again, we're so thankful, Father, for ever taking our place at that place called Calvary. And Father, we thank you for the gospel message and for the hope that it can bring to those who are not saved. And we just again pray this evening that in thy good will, that thou would just use that which you have read from thy word this evening to bring conviction to the hearts of those who have been gathered in. And may it be heaven's joy and our joy too over sinners repenting and turning to thee. Our Father, we pray that thy parting blessing. Go with us, we do pray. Take us to our homes now in safety, we do ask. And again, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus. And your worthy, most precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll sing through verses number 274, just to close our meeting. 274, it is the promise of God, through salvation to give unto him who believe. Unto him who in Jesus his Son will believe. Hallelujah, it is done. I believe in the Son, I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. And hopefully we can all sing verse number 5, because it's a verse we'll sing in heaven. There's a part in that chorus for you and for me, and the theme of our phrases forever will be, hallelujah, it is done. I believe in the Son, I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Let's keep our seats. Verses 1 and 5, number 274, and then we can go through.